Hello and welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 category smart. This is Jessie Colhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, Eat Fat, Get Thin, by Dr. Mark Hyman, MD, and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. What is the single best thing you can do for your health, weight, and longevity? Eat more fat. That's right. Eat more fat to lose weight, feel good, prevent heart disease, dementia, and cancer, and live longer. End quote. It turns out that eating fat doesn't actually make you fat. In this revolutionary book, Eat Fat, Get Thin, Dr. Mark Hyman sets us straight with the research-based insights into why fat is no longer the enemy. This book is packed with information that will make you a whole lot smarter about proper nutrition and the role that fat plays in that. You'll learn which fats to eat, which to avoid, and how eating fat can actually help you get and stay thin in addition to keeping you healthy. And it's not just for those seeking to lose weight. It's for anyone who's working on developing their optimal eating plan. Dr. Mark Hyman is the director of the Cleveland Clinic for Functional Medicine, founder of the Ultra Wellness Center, best-selling author, internationally recognized speaker and educator, and holds several other esteemed roles. You can learn more about him at www.drhyman.com. Let's begin with the first big thought. Eating fat doesn't make you fat. Blame the junk instead. Quote, it is true that the fat on our bodies is making us sick and causing us to die too soon. But the seemingly illogical leap that the fat we eat creates the fat on our bodies and clogs our arteries is wrong. End quote. Remember when there was a sudden proliferation of low-fat foods? Everything from salty snacks to muffins to cookies all came out in a low-fat version. Never mind that these low-fat foods were full of junk, like refined white flour, sugar, and other additives. We generally ignored all that bad stuff that was in those low-fat foods, but hey, it was advertised as low-fat or even fat-free, so we ate it feeling relatively guilt-free. Dr. Hyman exposes the reality that when we started taking the fat out of our diets, we actually got fatter. He explains, quote, we have reduced fat in our diet from 43% to 33% of calories since 1970 and cut back even more on saturated fat. Yet our obesity levels have skyrocketed. The numbers are disturbing. A full 70% of American adults and 40% of kids are overweight, end quote. Here's another interesting insight. Quote, more and more scientists are confirming that calories coming from fat are better for weight loss and improving metabolism. Kevin Hall from the National Institutes of Health has found that in a metabolic ward where every ounce of food and every movement and every calorie burned are carefully measured, those who ate more fat calories compared to an identical number of calories from carbs burned more than 100 additional calories a day. Fascinating, isn't it? The people who ate more fat burned more calories. It seems counterintuitive, since we know that fat has more calories per gram of food than carbs and protein. Fat has 9 calories per gram, while carbs and protein both have only 4 calories per gram. But a calorie is not a calorie. It's not just calories that matter. In fact, there's quite a bit of evidence that it's the refined carbs and sugar that are significantly contributing to obesity. Blame the junk, not the fat. For more on this topic, you might enjoy another great book called Salt, Sugar, Fat by Michael Moss. Be sure to check out that Life Note as well. The next big thought. It's complicated. Not all calories are created the same. Quote, the conventional wisdom doesn't stack up against emerging research that shows us that a calorie is not a calorie when you eat it. In a vacuum or a lab, calories from all foods release the same amount of energy when burned, whether the food is coconut oil or honey. But when you eat, foods have to go through your body, and they can have a profoundly different effect on your hormones, brain chemistry, and metabolism. End quote. Dr. Hyman's perspective on how fat calories and carb calories work differently in your body is really helpful in understanding this important point. He explains that fat actually helps to speed up your metabolism, while sugar and carb calories can lead to fat storage since they spike insulin levels. If you've ever heard the expression sugar buzz or watched your kids bouncing all over the room after eating candy and birthday cake, you can relate to this idea of energy spikes and crashes. Yet while sugar and refined carbs can send you buzzing and crashing, quote, fat works on the brain to cut your appetite so you eat less overall during the day, end quote. You may have noticed in your own reactions to food that when you eat high-quality fats, such as olive oil or avocado, there's a satiation factor, or longer-lasting fullness, as opposed to when you eat refined carbs in something like a bagel. The fat is helping you stay full and feel satisfied. You'll find a number of research studies in Eat Fat, Get Thin that support how higher-fat diets do not make people fatter. Perhaps the best summary is this, quote, and the final nail in the coffin proving that high-fat diets work better than low-fat diets for weight loss was a review by Harvard researchers of 53 different randomized controlled trials that lasted a year or more. They found that high-fat, low-carb diets compared head-to-head with low-fat diets worked much better for weight loss, end quote. So a calorie is not just a calorie. It's much more complex than that. There's so much more great information about this topic in Eat Fat, Get Thin, and we highly encourage you to dive into it in detail. The next big thought, why fat got a bad rap, a look back. Quote, the food industry has influenced governmental recommendations and dietary guidelines across the globe. In 2014, the British Medical Journal published a series of investigative reports that uncovered evidence of the extraordinary extent to which key public health experts are involved with the sugar industry and related companies responsible for many of the products blamed for the obesity crisis through research grants, consultancy fees, and other forms of funding. End quote. If healthy fat is truly beneficial, why did it get such a bad rap? Let's take a look at how and why eating fat became the enemy and why that logic is flawed. Remember that food pyramid that you might have studied in school? Dr. Hyman reminds us that back in 1992, the Food Guide Pyramid was issued by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. In that guide, we were told to consume, quote, 6 to 11 servings of bread, rice, cereal, and pasta a day, end quote. Yikes. It's disturbing, based on what we know now, that we were advised to eat more of those types of carbs than even vegetables and fruits. Let's see, might that have something to do with the power of agricultural interests that influence what the government recommends for us? Indeed it can, and you can learn more about that in Eat Fat, Get Thin. And what about fat? Fat was at the very top of the pyramid, meaning that we were advised to eat very little of it. Fat got a bad rap. The food industry then began to jump into the fray by shifting to low-fat products and contributing to the demonization of fats. The problem is that these food companies replaced saturated fats, such as in butter or meat, with vegetable oils, margarine, and shortening. Dr. Hyman writes, quote, the grand irony, of course, is that hydrogenated fat, aka trans fat, has turned out to be one of the only fats scientifically linked to heart disease, end quote. There are a lot of misconceptions about saturated fat that you can learn more about in the book, and we'll highlight a few of those in a moment. The bottom line is that these government guidelines, along with the big food industry and all the associated advertising around the wonder of low-fat foods, helped lead to a tremendous amount of misguided advice about what to eat. And we as consumers bought it, literally, and in many cases, we still do. The next big thought. What about meat? The healthy user effect. Quote, the Plains Indians lived on buffalo and had the highest number of centenarians per capita, while the Seventh-day Adventists are vegetarians and are among the longest-lived people on the planet. So what gives? Meat or veggies? Maybe we're asking the wrong question. End quote. There's much debate about meat when it comes to weight loss, nutrition, and overall health, including its impact on heart disease. Dr. Hyman suggests that to get to the full picture, we must take into account the impact of sugar, refined carbs, and processed food that is typical in a meat eater's diet. In other words, don't just look at the meat. It can be all the other junk that the meat eaters include in their diets that causes issues. This is a factor that is ignored in much of the research. There's something called the healthy user effect, which can bias research because someone who does not eat meat may have healthier habits overall, drinking less alcohol, exercising more, smoking less, etc. When researchers took this healthy user effect into account, they found this, quote, "In meat eaters who shop at health food stores, there is no difference in heart disease or death rates between them and vegans and vegetarians," end quote. Dr. Hyman also references a study of more than 1.2 million people in which, quote, "no link was found between red meat and heart disease, stroke, or diabetes," end quote. There's much more on this in Eat Fat, Get Thin, and it's often surprising information. Meat, and more generally saturated fat, has been so demonized that it's enlightening to consider some additional research and viewpoints. Now, eating meat is a personal choice, but before you throw it out of your diet completely due to health concerns, read through the insights in the book to get a more balanced picture of the research. If you do choose to eat meat, there are some guidelines you'll want to consider, such as choosing high-quality, grass-fed meat from the right sources. Local sources may be key, considering the meat industry is a major contributor to ecological destruction. And of course, you'll want to consider portions, as the vast majority of your plate should still be composed of vegetables. More on that later, but first, let's take a look at some other controversial foods now that we've tackled meat. The next big thought: oils and other controversial foods, which to eat. Quote, "I hope by now you're as convinced as I am that the low-fat era must finally be put to an end and that eating healthy fat is the key to losing weight, preventing disease, restoring vitality, and most of all, enjoying many of the foods you love," end quote. So, should you eat eggs, butter, oils, and nuts? Here's a snapshot of a few favorite insights. Eggs. If you've been avoiding eggs, or specifically egg yolks, it may be time to hit the refresh button. Dr. Hyman shares that an analysis of 16 research studies with large numbers of participants found that, quote, "eggs were not found to be linked to heart disease," end quote. And there are particularly beneficial vitamins in both egg whites and egg yolks, so omelet makers can rejoice. Butter. Quote, "The truth is that there is no good evidence proving its link to heart disease. In fact, the opposite may be true. Butter may be good for heart disease prevention." Quote, "However, we're advised to stick with grass-fed butter, in part because conventional butter can contain toxins and pesticides. So don't make butter the enemy, just choose your butter wisely." Oils. This is a more complicated category of fats, since there are many different types of oils and some are definitely better for you than others. As a quick summary, oils that you may want to consider include coconut oil, MCT oil, which can be derived from coconut oil, and extra virgin olive oil. Olive oil, for example, can be good for your heart, your gut, and also your brain, according to Dr. Hyman. On the other hand, there can be some issues with consuming too much of the common vegetable oils that we now use, such as corn oil, soybean oil, and others. Nuts and seeds. Quote, "Cutting out nuts and seeds entirely from your diet because they're fattening is one of the worst pieces of advice ever offered to the American public," end quote. In fact, there's some compelling research about how eating nuts can be heart healthy and also help with weight loss. Eat nuts and seeds in moderation, but he recommends that you don't cut them out of your diet. There's a wonderful amount of interesting detail on each of these types of fats and more in Eat Fat, Get Thin, so be sure to check that out. The final big thought, the Eat Fat, Get Thin plan. Key steps. Quote, "Most of your diet should be carbohydrates." Shocking, right? I'm not talking about bagels, rice, potatoes, or cookies. I'm talking about the carbs in whole plant foods, end quote. Eat Fat, Get Thin is mainly about the why behind what you should eat, rather than a specific day-by-day diet plan. It seems to be more of a nutrition book than a diet book, which is something that you'll likely really appreciate. The benefit of that approach is that you can create an eating plan that works best for your own lifestyle and your food preferences. You'll be armed with the knowledge to know why you should eat certain foods and avoid others. However, if you do want to use the information in this book to lose weight, there are guidelines and recommendations for how to do so. We wanted to include a quick overview of some of the key steps. Stage 1, lay the foundation. In this stage, you will make over your kitchen. And no, this doesn't mean you get to buy some beautiful new kitchen cabinets. It's not that kind of makeover. This makeover involves grabbing your garbage can and start tossing. Out goes all the fake food, anything that is not whole, real, and fresh. Processed snack foods, cookies, dinners in a box, sugar-loaded cereal that's full of scary ingredients, out it all goes. And while we're on the topic of sugar, you're going to want to toss both foods and drinks that contain sugar or artificial sweeteners. There are other important guidelines as well, but the bottom line is that you will want to set yourself up for success by eliminating everything unhealthy that can sabotage you. If that sounds challenging, here's a question for you. Do you really want to look like that ideal vision that you put in the health and fitness section of your life book? Or do you want to stay stuck exactly where you are? If you're serious, start tossing the junk food. Stage 2, the eat fat, get thin plan. The broad view of this plan is that it emphasizes healthy fats, high quality protein, and carbohydrates that come from whole plant foods, mainly from non-starchy vegetables. In fact, the majority of your diet should be whole plant foods. You can have a small amount of specific fruits, such as berries, and drinking plenty of water is important. The inclusion of high-quality fats is what makes this eating plan different than many others that avoid fats. You're encouraged to integrate healthy fats into your diet, some of which we've already discussed, such as avocado and extra virgin olive oil or MCT oil. There's also a list of what to avoid, and this list includes items such as gluten, grains, dairy products, beans, processed foods, sweeteners, refined vegetable oils, and others. And finally, step 3, your transition plan. After 21 days on the Eat Fat, Get Thin plan, Dr. Hyman suggests that you follow his PEGAN diet, which is a word he coined that combines paleo with vegan, with his own spin on it. The emphasis is on real, whole, fresh food that is sustainably raised, as well as low in sugar, refined carbs, and processed foods of all kinds, among other guidelines. You'll find more specifics on the initial plan and the transition plan, as well as some delicious recipes in Eat Fat, Get Thin. Even though you can find many other books that will give you healthy eating guidelines, Eat Fat, Get Thin has a particularly unique viewpoint in that it takes a lot of misinformation about fat and turns it around. Fat not only isn't bad, it's good for you. Just know which types of fat to eat and in what quantity. This book is exceptional in the amount of research-based insights that it shares and is a great resource for learning much more about nutrition, as well as some guidance for how you can lose weight if that's your goal. We hope you found this Life Note valuable and insightful. Thank you so much for listening in. We look forward to sharing more wisdom with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.